Father, we ask that as we look at your word, you'd make things clear, and that you would challenge us, so that we just didn't come here for the fun of it, but we came here and encountered you. And we worship you for what you've given to us and what you've created for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just about everybody is sitting kind of tribally near somebody today. If you would do this for me with the person you might be sitting near, or a couple that you're sitting near, could you share with each other? Now, I know the facts that are here. And God created this. And God created that. And God said it was good. I know the facts of the story. We studied it during the week. We studied it now. But now's your chance to help the pastor out. Which is a funny way to get into this, by the way. Listen. Could you think for a minute on the scripture we just read, the scripture we looked at this week? And could you then share with the person next to you or in your little tribe that you're sitting in, could you share what I call a take-home point? There's this scripture, and then I say this, so what? Well, I'd like you to answer that so what with the person that you're sitting there with. What's a point from this that is so what, that affects you, that says something to you that you can take home, go home from here, and continue to think upon? Okay, talk to the person next to you. Okay, be wrapping it up. And when you're done, look up here. Or over here. Over here, up here. Alrighty, this is called Put Your Neighbor on the Spot. I'm going to ask you if you heard something really cool that we all need to hear from the person you talked to. I'm going to ask you to share it in brief right now. What was one thing you heard? Maybe I hadn't thought about it, but they brought something. I hadn't thought about that. That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. Anybody? Yes. Over here, good and loud, and I'll repeat it for you.
We got one that's excellent. You know the passages in the gospel where they said, should we pay taxes? And they said, look at your money, whose image is on it, it's Caesar. Well, then render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Well, this passage says that we are made in God's image. It's like that money has Caesar in his God.
Very good.
So we belong to God.
Nice. She was talking about the coinage in the New Testament and how it had the image of Caesar on it, and it really belonged in homage to Caesar, but that we are the image of God, and what an impression that is upon us, that we were made in his image, and that's excellent. I can take that home tonight. I can take that home tonight and continue to move that one in my head. Karen.
One of my neighbors here, to follow directly with that, has been wondering what this in the image of God mean. What does it mean? Is it our spirit? Is it just a form? Is it our form at all? How does that work out?
Very good. Is that a question?
We didn't have any fun of that in Carol's office. Yeah.
I'll just say this, that Karen was very impressed with the image of God. That's what I heard from her. Dorothy. Okay. But again, we've got somebody else talking about, and then exactly the question that comes from that, which has been, volumes of books have been written about the fact of, what does it mean for us to be made in the image of God? And have you thoroughly thought about that and explored what that means? Just pass this off. This is huge stuff. The image of God. Bob Goodlatte.
Glenn shared something that I think would be a small part of an answer to that question, and that God called us to rule over the earth. And God rules over the earth, and it is part of our being in his image that we would also be ruling over the earth.
You get that? God rules over the earth, and as part of that image, we have been called to rule over the earth. Wow. You try that, husbands and wives, when you get home with your spouse and see how far that goes. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. And?
So someone in our group pointed out that God made this perfect planet, gave us dominion over all of it, knowing the whole time that we were going to ruin it.
Yeah. God gave us dominion over this perfect planet that he said was very good.
And then did it anyway.
and knowing what we were going to do with it. It's like giving your kid, 3-year-old, a Stradivarius to play with for $80,000 just to see what happens to it. Mm-hmm. And we did. And by the way, the next study section coming up after this, which will feature us studying the fall of man, we'll also, at this time in 2 weeks, feature a communion service together, because that is a great way to go from the fall of man to what Jesus has done. Anybody else hear anything that was something to take home? Jerry?
Can I just follow that logic a little bit? He not only knew what we were going to do about it, he knew what he was going to have to do about it to get it back the way he wanted, and he did it anyway.
Okay. God knew what we were going to do. We did what we were going to do, and he knew what he was going to do in response to what we were going to do.
Which was brutal,
and we did, and okay. Ephesians 1 makes that clear, by the way. Before the foundations of time, there was a plan in place. Let that noodle on you for a little while. That's tremendous. Okay, anybody else want to share? Audrey, can you use good and loud? How about I come visit you? God made the animals for us and us for him. Nice. I like that. And you steak eaters pick up the fact that they were vegetarians?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was pretty tough for Fran to hear that, isn't it? Okay.
Fran's not alone.
I've got a guy in my group who cannot make it here very long because of wife's work responsibilities, Casey. And he's a server at Ruth Chris Steakhouse. And this text hit him hard. I'll let you deal with that. We teased him enough, didn't we? That's part of the work we do.
Genesis,
Stephen.
Genesis 9, though, he changes that since we didn't eat after Noah.
Okay, good. That's exactly right. All right, any other observations before we move on here? I'm good, David. Wow.
Well, in verse 28, this is the first blessing of God. And the reason that they were blessed, they weren't blessed because of what they do, because they hadn't done anything yet. They were blessed as a result of being, and the values derived by being made in the image of God.
Did you catch that? The blessing of God, the first time God blessed them, they did nothing to deserve the blessing. They got the blessing because they were made in the image of God. That's fantastic. There's a take-home point you can chew on the rest of the night. What does that mean? I thought I would share with you what impressed me from this passage. You realize I'm not preaching full-fledged sermons at this point in time, just making some notes of things that we can take home that are important. And I would tell you that when I was looking at the scripture, I was continually impressed that God kept, you got to see me do this if you want to, it looks like God goes like this, let us. And you see the phrase let us in here, a Hebrew form, which means more than two people. Most of us believe that that's the first allusion to the Trinity, which Jesus fleshes out later in his life and gives us more details about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I was very impressed with the fact that God said, let us. Let us. You can read it all through the passage even earlier. Let us. Let us. The Trinity together communicating with each other to create man. That's what was taking place. It actually took the three of them involved with the creation of mankind. Let us. You know, when you go to observe that, you realize that you don't see that before the animals are made. You don't see him say, let us make the animals in our image. No, the animals were just made, and they inhabited the place. And the bugs and the creepy things and all the things that are here, as we're made in the image of God, with all the nobility that goes with that, the glory of God, the dignity of God that's been put in us. The Godhead got together and created everything, but especially man. Now that's one thing to take home that's just awesome. Do we value life? Yes, we do. The Godhead in the universe made it so. There's more to this story that I wanted to share with you today that still, when I think about it, knocks me over. And you know, I've done thousands upon thousands of sermons all over the country, actually. The funny thing is, this one point gets me more than any other. I'm going to share with you in just a minute. What I'd like to do right now is have you bow your head. And I'd like you to pray and personally worship God for creating man. Personally worship God for the fact that He created us to live forever with Him. We were designed to live forever in perfect fellowship with God. Would you thank God for that event? Maybe never thank God for the creation, but would you thank Him for that right now and worship Him privately? Tell Him how fantastic He is. Do that right now. And Father, we worship You for exactly who You are, the creator and sustainer of this universe. The very thing that we look at in the sky, stars and all the expanse, You created. The people we see, You created. And Father, You created us. How we praise You for that and worship You for it. And actually even apologize for not saying thank You enough for the act of creation upon us. We thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Pay real close attention to this if you've been napping up to this time. Because I want you to get this very clearly. And not many people connect this thought, the previous thought, with the one that I'm about to say. Listen. You know what happens soon after this? You know that man falls. You know that man sins. You know that every single thing in creation has now been affected by sin. Now you know the struggle is on in creation to exist. And winter, super Floridian, winter came in because man sinned. You get the idea. And so the fact of the matter is even the creatures that did not sin are now affected because of man's sin. And man is now, using Paul's language, alienated from God. Here's the thought I want you to go home with, which I have been noodling on for quite a while. And here's how it comes out of my mouth. The fact of the matter is that God had said, let us, and created man and everything else. And when it came to my salvation, it took the Godhead who got together in another let us situation. And it was the Godhead who went about my payment for my sin in Jesus Christ, and my living forever with Him. See, I was always meant to live forever with God. The Trinity got together, led us, and made mankind. That was the deal. I would live forever with Him. And then mankind sinned, and could no longer in his sin go to live with God. And the Trinity, the let us group, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, got together, and it took their energies and their effort for me to actually go back to having a relationship with the God of the universe and to be able to live with Him forever. It took all three of them. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that before the ages of time, before any time was had, before anything at all, God had the plan of salvation and chose us in eternity, not forward, but eternity backward, whatever that means, before the foundations of time, God was making the plan and had made the plan for us to live with Him forever, even after we sinned. You know, very obviously, John 3:16, second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. Jesus had to die for us in order to make the payment to the Holy God so that I could go live and be able to live with Him forever, just like the original plan. And you know what the Spirit's part is? I'm ashamed, almost, that I read the book The Shack because it was so popular. You needed to read it too or read a synopsis of it just so you could be as bothered about it as I am. What a sham that got held up by some religious leaders. But the reality is they painted the Holy Spirit like the wacko, crazy relative that lives in the basement. And I can't imagine that the God, our God, the Holy Spirit, got portrayed that way. And the Holy Spirit plays a pivotal part. In John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18, Jesus explains to us that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us as our comforter and guide, and He is our seal, so that you can be guaranteed of heaven with the relationship you have with Jesus Christ, which then restores your relationship with God the Father. The blow-away point is this. It took the Trinity to do creation. It also took the Trinity to secure my salvation, to get me to be with him forever. I always focus on Jesus, and I forget that all three of them energized and engaged to make it possible for me to have eternal life with the God of the universe. That one thought tonight, when you put your head on the pillow, will be enough to maybe keep you up an extra bit longer to worship your God before you go to sleep. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, even as we look to some of your scripture today and realize the Godhead that created us, we're even more blown away, Father, by the fact the Godhead redeemed us. The Godhead made it possible for us to once again have eternal life with you in perfect fellowship. And Father, we as a group of your children here today do thank you and praise you and worship you for that and respond to you the only way we can, by offering ourselves as living sacrifices for you to spend us as you see fit to further your kingdom, and more specifically, further your kingdom this next week during Fellowship Week. Father, take us and use us and spend us all to your glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.